Hello, and here we are with Isabella Pearson's review of Cold Blood, Hungry Earth, or the other way around. What did you think then, Isabella? All right, do you remember what happened in the story?
No.
Okay, what happened then to Amy in the story? Sure, I'll show you a bit of it and then you'll know. Look, here, anyway, here's a bit of the story.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, go on then.
She fell down a hole.
A hole, right, yes. Then what happened? Yeah, she fell down a hole. Hello, anybody there?
Not sure.
Look, there she is. Look, what's happening to her there?
The ground took her.
Yes. And that was it, was that? That's the end of the story?
No!
So what happened then?
The doctor was going to save her.
He was going to save her, but he didn't. Is that what you're saying?
He did!
So what happened to Rory?
Not sure.
You're not sure what happened to Rory? Did not watch that bit?
N-O spells no.
Hey?
N-O spells N-O.
Well, that doesn't help me, does it, doing that whispering business? Right, okay, shall I show you what happened to Rory?
A monster's got him.
So what happened to him now?
Died.
Yeah, there we go. How many times has Rory died so far?
Two.
Is it two? Oh, okay.
Because I've just seen two episodes.
Okay, but what happens after Rory dies? What happens to Amy after Rory dies?
Not sure.
She forgets him.
Oh.
No, well, so what do you think of this story as a whole?
Sad.
Sad. Why?
Because I just do.
Okay. Well, 3 years ago, you thought this, all your synopsis was, or not synopsis, all your review was for this show, was Amy fell down to the ground. Well, there's been a little bit of an elaboration, shall we say, to your previous review, and hopefully by a year's time, and you'll watch, when you're watching classic Doctor Who from start to finish, your recounting of episodes will be good enough to actually be regularly on the show. What do you think to that? Shrugging shoulders doesn't work too well in audio presentations.
I'm not sure.
Right, so that's it then. Thank you for your goodbye.
Goodbye. And I don't know anything about Doctor Who.
Services in association with who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 168. And this week we've got, I forgot to do a little quote from the show actually. So we'll start with Mr. Rhys Parton.
Why, Matt, why?
That's not a quote from the show. And Mary Lang.
I know.
This is Mary, defending the planet with Meals on Wheels.
And he's back. It's Matthew Kressel.
When you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. Sherlock Holmes got the audiobook.
And our new presenter.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
It's John Smith.
I'll be here always, Elliot.
How are you, John? Ooh. John, tell us a bit about your Doctor Who fandom.
It's just a new microphone.
John, you laugh like Kirby.
Only a little bit.
Good morning.
Yes, John, you have such a clear, crisp voice.
Yeah. Ooh,
indeed.
Our Mary likes you. Oh, you're in there. You're in there, John. I just wonder, what's happened to Kirby this week?
Yeah, and Robert.
And Robert, yeah.
Yeah, and Robert.
Anyway, right, and so, all right, yes, it's Kirby. Hello, Kirby.
Hello.
Hey?
Yes, I'm sure it would have become quite apparent later on in the show that it was Kirby, because I'm sure pedantic moments will follow.
Oh, I'm sure.
Really? Why would that happen?
I'm sure. I don't know. You tell me. Right then, this week we've got quite a lot to talk about. Right then, so we'll start with...
I think there was a lack of news.
Yeah. We'll start with Hungry Earth and Cold Blood. I'm not going to go... too mad with it, because if anybody listened to episode 3 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, they will already have heard Alicia and I's review on the show anyway. Oh. So,
can I bring up a comment about episode 2?
Sorry. Yes, go on.
Since we didn't hear it last week until you put out the podcast, and I've heard it years ago, of course, but Alicia was correct in that we eventually did get a pumpkin in Doctor Who.
That's right, we did.
What was that in relationship? What was she what was it in reference to when Alicia mentioned it?
Yeah. She was, you guys were talking about monsters, I think, but she said something about Doctor Who needed a pumpkin as a monster.
Well, there
we got a pumpkin as a monster.
Clearly.
Lo and behold.
Now, who wrote that story? Whoever it is, he's clearly listening to this show. So I think I might have to.
Whoever listened to that episode, and when I heard it, it's like, oh my gosh, she is so engaged. It is so wonderful to hear her.
Yeah.
Did you hear her just a minute ago? The only thing she's engaged in is stupidity. Anyway.
Up at 5 o'clock in the morning to hear her 5 minutes ago.
Yes. She's gone off in a half. I'm surprised that's how easy it was to get rid of her, actually.
She'll be back in a minute and a half.
Yeah, she probably will be back, because she does tend to drag things out. She'll probably be in, Dad, I've got to get this done tonight. Dad, don't you understand? I'm stressing out. I've got these exams tomorrow. So, Dad, I thought I might prioritise getting my best friend a present with a load of money that I haven't really got anyway. Can you lend me 20 quid?
He's been a very naughty boy. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, she's her friend who, well, Alicia works, she has a job, so all the money she earns, instead of investing it on herself, she spends on her friends. And she can't see that her friends sponge off her. Basically, they get her to pay for her bus fares around the Isle of Wight and lunches. She basically, this evening, we cooked a lovely roast dinner, and she said, I'm not coming to dinner, I'm going to get a spray tan. And she turned up about 45 minutes after the dinner was finished, spray tanned, but the strange thing was that she's got like suntan marks, so she had the straps of her top and that weren't, oh well, never mind, it just looked a bit silly, but she said that's trendy apparently, and had some jam on toast.
They look silly.
Jam on toast, where she could have had a roast dinner if she'd, you know, come back a bit earlier or not even done a spray tan on a Sunday evening, so she's a bit daft.
It sounds like a song that does, spray tan on a Sunday evening.
Well, she's talking about how stressed she is. Right then. Anyway, it's Cold Blood and Hungry Earth. Yes, I'm not going to talk too much about this. I'd like you lot to talk about it, because I've already spoken about it in the past. I wasn't really looking forward to watching this story, to be fair. But it's interesting in some aspects, especially Niamh McIntosh's portrayal of two different Silurians are completely different to Madame Vastra. What like a good actress she is. Sorry. Carry on.
Now, I did like this better this time around than when I last watched it. So, something.
It's just interesting, that bit where they're on the hill, isn't it? Amy and Rory from the future, apparently, are on the hill.
Yeah.
Yet they're quite a long way in the past. So how do they manage that, then? Wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey. And, of course...
And that's supposed to be another... 10 years in the future,
and also the only reason they put that in there is so they could have when Boru is dead. That was just Amy up there on the hill at the end of the episode,
right?
I think it's a lot like the exploding TARDIS at the end of the season. It's the kind of thing fans are going to be worrying about years later, but the public's going to have forgotten about.
I think that's only really there for that episode. It's like that clip in Day of the Daleks, is it, where we see Joe and the Doctor in a sort of time portal.
Oh, yes.
Never got explained. Yeah. But
it was supposed to have, but they didn't have the time in the studio to film it. But that scene that they didn't film is in the novelization of Day of the Daleks.
Okay, fair enough.
Now, as I said on Facebook last night, I get a real Inferno vibe from the beginning of this episode. I think we ought to do Inferno.
Yeah, that obviously is a homage, isn't it, to Inferno? Not quite in the line of the complete doom that is going to happen at the end of Inferno, but obviously they're drilling into the Earth and drilling into the Silurian city. But
Mary or Reese, have you seen Inferno?
No,
I haven't, but I've heard a lot about it. That's where Nick Courtney does his evil acting, isn't it?
He does, and so does. So does Caroline John.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's the whole unit team of the era, basically, getting to play evil. It's the mirror of Doctor Who.
Yeah, Baddie Benton. Yes. Yeah, it's really, really good.
Benton.
But, yeah, I mean...
it's really good, too.
I don't remember what episode that I was reading about, but, you know, I have some, you know, books that talk about classic Who. And one of the books compares this episode to, is this the one that they're talking about then? That they say this is like a rewrite of the same episode, or is that Doctor Who and the Silurians?
Doctor Who and the Silurians.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that this is just like a revamp of that.
So it doesn't count well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this story when I first watched it on DVD in 2007, and it was called Doctor Who and the Silurians.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so basically, I'll try and give you a bit of a job. It starts off in Wales. There's not a lot of stories set in Wales these days. It's quite interesting because they all used to be set in Cardiff or somewhere in Wales, didn't they? But now, not so much. And of course, we've got the little boy who's a bit dyslexic and likes his audiobooks like we all do nowadays.
I love the way he prefers Sherlock Holmes to the one about the monster who has his big, scary paws and claws.
Yeah.
So there's a very small cast in this. We've got Ambrose, the mum. We've got Tony, the dad, who's sort of in love with...
Nazarene Cowdery.
That's the one. And and then we have... That's it. Oh, yeah, and the dad's in it. So and Mo gets pulled down, then Mayor, and Amy falls down to the ground, doesn't she, and gets dragged into the...
So I assume it was episode 3 where we first heard Isabella's catchphrase.
This is episode 5 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, presented by APV Services. What do you think of that rendition of the theme music then, Alicia?
Good.
And what do you really think of that rendition of the theme music, Alicia?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Right, before we move on to this show, I've got a very interesting little interview for you to listen to. Have a listen to this.
Right, I'm here with our youngest ever contributor to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Can't wait, don't walk away. I'm with Isabella. Hello, Isabella.
Hello.
Now, do you like Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of Doctor Who?
It's the name. It's the man Doctor Who.
The man Doctor Who. Is it? What do you like on Doctor Who?
Amy.
You like Amy? And how old are you?
I'm just 8 o'clock.
You're 8 o'clock, are you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell the listeners you're 3 and you're going to be 4 on the 8th of June, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you're going to have a party?
Yeah.
Is the doctor going to be at your party?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be good. I'll have to go to that party then, won't I?
Yes.
So, what happened on Doctor Who this week? Do you remember?
Amy fell down to the ground.
Did she?
Yes.
Oh dear, is she all right?
Yeah.
Oh dear, what happened to Rory?
He can't get... Doctors can't get Amy, then Amy can't get out.
Oh, but I thought it was all right in the end. What about the doctor when he stuck his hand in that big crack? Did you see that bit?
Yeah.
Oh, do you think it's going to be all right?
Yeah.
Do you think Rory's going to be all right?
Yeah.
You do? Well, that's all right then. And thank you, Isabella, for that lovely interview. So what do you think of that then, Alicia?
Cute. Oh, that's so cute.
Well done. And I don't think she'll ever live that one down. Poor kid. But, yeah, I mean, it does actually tick along at a fairly good pace, this story. It is a two-parter, and I think it's bearable as a two-parter, actually. No, I don't think... I think both parts are really quite sort of well-paced, and, you know, I didn't think it was... I suppose they could have shortened it down to a one part, but I don't think it's terribly long.
They could have, but I thought the first episode was very well-paced. I really... And I've having seen it before, I was really into it again this time around. It's scary, and it is well-paced.
There are some scary moments, aren't there?
Yeah, lots of really scary moments. There's a lot of suspense. You know, so I'm hanging in there, you know, till the end of that. It's the next episode that it's like every contradiction gets introduced, you know, where the Silurian tongue lash, which is supposed to be lethal, now it doesn't. Now it just mutates the person that's hitting. And it's a scientist who's supposed to be so ruthless that he'll dissect humans while they're awake. Suddenly is Mr. Grandfather, you know, everybody loves him, that he wouldn't harm a fly.
That is contradictive, I agree.
Yeah, so part two, to me, kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
And Marvin the paranoid android shows a completely different side of himself.
Yes.
I was going to make a joke about that. Eldane the paranoid Silurian.
And the ending of the second episode suddenly takes this, you know, left turn into a whole other story, because it picks
sounded like you're going into the title set.
I just thought one of the cats had just wandered in.
Suddenly the story is done, and we're into a different story. Now it's all about, you know, the crack and Rory getting hurt and disappearing. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, what story are we telling here?
Stephen Moffat's story.
very first piece of feedback ever sent to the show was Chris Chibnall's previous episode, 42. And I think when I did my feedback on that, I made the comment that Chibnall seems very much to just simply go back to the old series, which we know he is a fan of, and we know he was a fan of at the time because he shows up on a clip in the Trial of the Time Lord document in the Trial of the Time Lord DVD box set. And this two-parter in particular pulls a lot of elements from the old series, much to its detriment, I think, to the point that it's lifting whole plot points and almost word-for-word dialogue from Doctor Who and the Silurians. But also, the stuff in the beginning, with people getting sucked through the ground, it's the Fifth Doctor story, Frontios.
Yes, yeah, that's true. I think I might mention that in my original synopsis from Episode 3 of the 20 Megabyte podcast, actually. But yes, it is very Frontios-y.
Yeah, I mean, that's my problem with this two-parter. I wasn't engaged with it in 2010, and I wasn't engaged with it last night when I sat down and rewatched it.
Yeah.
Well, never having seen Doctor Who and the Silurians, you know, it was new to me when I first saw it. So,
you know, I must admit, when I looked at it, I forgot what I was going to say. Carry on.
Well, that's the thing I find interesting about it, is that when I talk to my new series friends, who comment, and they're like, it's not that bad of a story. And I went, and my only reaction is, you've not seen the original story that it pillages everything from.
I know that I haven't. So.
You know what I thought? Watching it now, it was the Chris Chibnall thing. Having just recently watched Broadchurch, I was just trying to see if there was a style to Chris Chibnall. When you look at, because I personally think Broadchurch was a long, drawn-out thing and should have been a lot shorter. But this being a two-parter, I think this is one of the more acceptable two-parter stories, because I don't really like multiple part of modern Doctor Who. Didn't mind it in the old days because they were only 25-minute episodes, but it doesn't work so much now. I much prefer the last series we've had, where, you know, we got 13 different stories, maybe slightly connected, but basically they're all different stories. But this one didn't work too bad as a two-parter. I must admit, watching it this time round, I did find it quite fascinating. Various aspects. One was Matt Smith and how consistent he is. Two was Arthur Darvill and how brilliant he was.
Yes.
And straight away we see that, again, consistent in other ways, the strength of him. He has this sort of bumblingness about him, yet he's got a very he's very brave, and you know, and is prepared to stand up for himself to the doctor, and you know, scolds him. And there's a lovely scene where the doctor sort of Elliot sort of goes off home, and he sort of goes, yeah, okay. And then when he when his mum realises he's missing, and how I'll get him back. You know, the way that Matt Smith is in that scene. And they've really, it's an ensemble of actors in this, this thing. Even the little boy, again, we talk about child actors in Doctor Who that aren't generally quite good, but this little chap was fantastic. So,
yes,
Because of the cast, and there were some lovely creations, you know, the underground city looked fab, and who said they watched it in HD recently, and it was just outstanding? Somebody on one of the other podcasts, I think. It might have been Trevor Gench, I can't remember, but... It was all in all. I mean, I think this is probably the first time I've seen it in full HD, because when I watched it, although I mentioned HD in the previous time I watched it, it was my old television was only 720i, so it was like half HD. But this is the first time I've seen it in full HD, and it's magnificent. So all in all, this time round, obviously with what's come since, I actually quite enjoyed watching it. Probably more than the first time. Yeah, so I'm trying to think of individual things. I did enjoy the lady that Tony falls in love with. There were aspects of it that were a bit stupid. Like you say, we did mention this. That we did mention that the sudden change of character of the scientist who was dissecting them. It was so, you know, like it stuck out like a sore thumb. It really was obvious.
Yeah. I thought that was playing perceptions of things, though. In the first episode, we're looking at it from Amy and Mo's point of view, and then you get down there and you realise, well, he's just a scientist, that's his job, and he's just going about what he has to do.
Maybe.
Well, I had problems with the fact that he had been cut open and repaired so well that he's running around perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I had a problem that they didn't do that with Amy.
Yeah, but that's...
Oh, sorry.
Well, that's just Silurian technology, isn't it?
I think, well, then why is he even alive?
Yeah, but like I say, this is a much more advanced technology than human technology. That's what they were alluding to. That when they were trying to do this deal that the Silurians could live in the deserts and stuff like that, part of the deal was that they've got much more advanced technology than the humans. But it didn't quite work out. I was hoping for some hint as to how we ended up with Madame Vastra. There's clearly no link between this and her.
Well, there's Niamh McIntosh.
Apart from her, yeah. But I was hoping there might be a sort of hint as to how we ended up with her. I'm sure that will be explained at some time in the future with probably a new doctor. Or maybe not.
Well, I thought The Good Man Goes to War, that both the Vastra character and Strax both died. I thought they died.
Vastra didn't.
Bastard didn't. She was still alive at the end of that.
I heard a little birdie tweeting. Is someone going to sleep? I heard a little birdie tweeting. Is somebody falling asleep?
Well, I've got my windows open, so you may be hearing birds here.
Okay, that's right then. It's funny, at that time when Reese had his window open, all we'd heard was crickets.
Chris, don't everybody go to sleep.
Is that boring, huh?
The 20 megabyte background noise podcast, which it always has been, really, since the days of the clock.
Well, you're likely to have more background noise with me with this microphone.
Oh, dear. I'll try not to break wind.
You really do sound good. You've got a good microphone there.
Hey, another little compliment
She's
there
trying
from
to call,
Mary.
Give the microphone a compliment. She likes you, Kirby. She likes you.
She likes
it's a
the
great microphone,
she
Kirby.
She likes the cut of your jib and the sound of your dulcet tones.
She likes your
tones.
Microphone, Kirby. Well, hey.
I really enjoy the scene of Amy, who finds herself in that trapped space. You know, she's screaming and everything, but as soon as the doctor comes up and says, shush, she goes, what? You're shushing me?
Yes.
Even from that helpless position, she is still Amy, full-fledged.
Yeah,
there's some good scenes with her, actually. I like the way she nicks the controller off the scientist so she can get them out, basically, to help them escape. And I did like some of Amy-isms in this episode.
Yeah.
I love Amy-isms too. Oh, sorry.
Oh, God.
I'm surprised none of you, seeing as you've commented on the fact that the story's lifted from Doctor Who and the Silurians, you haven't commented on the new design of the Silurians.
Yeah, I know. I noticed they had the masks, didn't they? Which we haven't seen since.
Hmm.
I have nothing good to say about the redesign.
It just looks a bit... I think they've over-humanised the eye. I mean, I can't do anything about it. They've basically... The original Silurians look great with their big sort of lizardy eyes, but now these lizardy sort of reptiles have got human eyes. But, you know, what are they going to do? You know, at least we get to see Neve McIntosh's eyes.
Well, see, I don't think I've seen any of the classic series Silurian episodes, so... I don't have anything to compare with.
They're well worth seeking. The first story in the Sea Devils in particular are very good. Warriors of the Deep, on the other hand, I think would have been okay had they dumped the Murka and turned down the lighting a bit.
Oh, that's the one with the Murka.
That's the one okay. with the Murka. But say what you will about men in rubber costumes from the old series, but the whole point
is... Oh, I will.
I'm sure you will, Reese. The whole point of the Silurians when Malcolm Hull created them was they were not human. They were not even remotely human. Yes, obviously, they're bipedal, two arms, two legs, and whatnot. But they weren't human beings. And all this redesign has done is it's highlighted the point that it's definitely a person in a costume.
I don't know about that.
And remember, also, it's given a brilliant actress a brilliant opportunity to act, so and, I think that's forgiven.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and they are referred to.
I didn't think they were that bad.
Reptilian.
Yes.
Which is a nice little reference to all the spin-off fiction with the Silurians as well, because that's where the Homo Reptilia comes from. Was it was introduced in the Virgin the books back in the 1990s.
But do you remember an old American TV series called V?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
So that was there were reptiles that were sort of masquerading as humans, but I seem to be quite. I remember at the time, as I was quite young when it was on, finding them quite scary. But they were quite well represented, clearly people in costumes, in those days. So I think they've done a fairly good job really with the costuming on the particular Silurians. Or the only thing you might want to criticise is the fact that the mouths and the eyes look a bit human, but. I haven't really got a problem with that because look at Star Trek monsters. A lot of them were just humanoid things.
With ridges.
Yeah, with ridges.
Yeah.
With...
I just took it as it's part of because they're evolving into a more human like form, just as they're suggesting the apes did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in this story, they also make reference, the Doctor makes reference that they aren't quite the same as the other Silurians he's run across.
I was about to say that.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. It's true.
Yeah, that's right. So
my main problem is why are the warrior class all female? Is it just them that are female, or does
female
have another job?
Females like to argue more than blokes. I think that's basically what they're trying to say there.
Yeah.
Why do you say female? I mean, they're portrayed by female actors, but they're reptile. They're they shouldn't have it.
Very curvaceous, if you know what I mean.
What? God, why not?
Well,
oh my God! Sorry, Brazil nearly scored. Sorry, carry on.
Well, real life reptiles have males and females, so I think it makes some sense in that regard.
Yeah.
But the whole conflict between the older leader and the younger warrior once again is just stolen directly out of Doctor Who and the Silurians.
We might have a problem here. I think Chris Chibnall was trying to reference it, not steal from it. For the younger generation like myself.
Sure,
but
he wasn't just
trying
to pay homage
to seen it. Could have done.
We tried to get him out of being lazy.
Well, there's a fine line between homage and ripping off completely, and I think this is way over the line.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm going to have to find that one and watch it.
Me too. I can't comment. I haven't seen it yet.
I wouldn't put anybody off watching this classic Doctor Who. Inferno is a really, really good story. It is a bit long, but I think they do get away with it.
It's just
intriguing. It's just intriguing seeing Nick Courtney playing different parts and stuff, and the switches between the two universes in that sort of time in 1970 was quite innovative. You know,
Matthew, the clue to getting a word in edgewise is to go, Adam,
Adam.
Well, I was.
You say no, I talk a lot.
Well, I'm sitting here with the episode playing, and I just realized there's another Pertwee-era thing in here. They're stuck inside a force field in a church. The demons, anybody?
Oh, yes.
Demons, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no brigadier saying five rounds rapid, anything like
that. Yeah, the only way this could be more of a rip-off of the Pertwee-era is if units suddenly popped up. That's all I'm going to say.
That's what she said, too.
If you lived in the U.S., and you have only BBC America as your reference point, Doctor Who did only start with, mysteriously, this ninth Doctor. We don't know why he's number nine, because for us, he's just number one, because that's as far back in Doctor Who history as BBC America wants to go. So this is a brand new story as far as we're concerned.
Okay, well, I mean, they have got, because there is a history to the show, I'm pretty sure that they know that there's a big following in America, so they've got to be careful how they, you know, how they word things.
By the programs they show here, though, because whenever they have their specials about companions or about monsters or anything, they never go farther back than the Eccleston era.
That's because
they have done it, but it's very rare.
In the background, yeah.
Yeah, it's because that's all BBC America has the rights to broadcast at the moment.
Okay.
Because BBC America is not connected to the BBC, and they have to pay to air programs like any other network would have to.
Okay.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Just saying, too.
So anyway, all right. Obviously, we haven't.
I do like the little fourth Doctor reference where the Doctor pulls a slingshot out of his pocket.
I didn't see that as a fourth Doctor reference. Well, now he's mentioned.
Yeah, I believe he has a slingshot in Genesis of the Daleks when he empties his pockets.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, we haven't really synopsized this story because, as I say, we've already done it in the past. But I'm trying to.
Yeah,
it's just a case of. I've said about as much as I want to say on it, so you just carry on for a bit. I might nip out and get a glass of Coke, actually, and get told off by Deb for being too loud.
Fair enough.
Well, I wonder what Deb is doing that he's too loud for.
She's watching the football, I think, which is currently Brazil 0, England.
Well, get louder there. Be louder.
Oh, Brazil. The Doctor was going to Rio.
Yes, apparently so.
In this story.
Yeah. Oh, there's something that actually I noticed. Amy didn't dress dissimilarly to how she dressed before, so I think maybe Chris Chibnall was trying to give a reason why she was wearing a short skirt.
Yeah.
But they've never given one in any other episode.
No.
That's true.
Yeah.
And this is one of the few times when the extra characters make a comment on how she's dressed.
Yeah. But also quite interesting that this was obviously set in the future. There's a gravestone with a futuristic date on it. I don't know if that was put there for a specific reason. But that was the first time I noticed. I know they did mention, I think, there was 10 years into the future this was set.
Yeah.
And then we see a gravestone.
Yeah, there's the 2020 title card at the beginning.
Yeah, that's it. But it's easily missed. But there you go. Well, carry on talking for a bit. Before, I think I'm going to wind up this particular thing because there's a few things I want to talk about as well, because it's quite significant. So,
no, there was no news. We can ignore the news.
Yeah, it's going to be a long story before the 50th anniversary. No, so there's nothing to fill the time with.
So I'll just go and get myself a cup, and you can sum up your thoughts on this quite enjoyable story.
You may think that, but I couldn't possibly comment.
Okay, then, keep quiet. I've got a couple of notes that I took last night when I was watching it and just things that stood out for me.
Oh, how many times have you seen it, Rhys?
I've only seen it once recently, so...
Okay, you're going to win. You're going to win.
Yeah, get ready.
You're
going
to win.
But one of the things that stood out for me, when they were all in the church and Elliot had disappeared, Ambrose took a fair time noticing that. And I thought that was a bit convenient for the story, and she probably should have noticed straight away that he wasn't in there anymore.
Oh, one thing that bothered me was they took about 7 minutes to set up all of that equipment.
And then it wasn't
used.
Yeah.
all those cameras and everything in 7 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Well, it's a TV show about a science fiction hero who travels through time.
Well, my biggest problem is they never quite used that in the second episode. They just set it up and forgot about them.
You're right.
Well, it's because everything went underground in the second episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt like they were just kind of giving us a red herring, trying to distract us, and then, I don't know.
Well, there's all that setup for that, and it never does. I don't think it actually ever gets put to use.
You're right, because they catch that Silurian almost right away. You know, they don't have to, what is it, not survey, but surveillance. You know, they didn't find anything on the surveillance. They just right away captured her.
And who does she think she is? Did she think she was Jesus, the way she was going, I know which one of you is going to kill me, and all that business?
She was taunting them is what she was doing. Yeah.
Might have been the Silurian Jesus, I don't know.
I suppose it could be, yeah. But, and also, what about the death of Rory?
I fart in your general direction.
Beg your pardon? Don't know what you're implying.
Kirby, you're being a very naughty boy.
Yeah. Anyway, as I was saying, what do we think of Rory's death?
We have a knight who
It irritated me.
It irritated you. What irritated me, and it still does, is the fact that you mustn't touch the crack, yet the doctor reaches in and grabs something out of it.
Yeah.
So how is he? I know he's a wibbly wobbly timey wimey character, but how come he wasn't erased from mystery?
I think
they're trying to explain it, the fact that he was him that caused the crack in the first place, so it's part of his own timeline, is the reason why he couldn't get erased by.
But the reason why he was telling other people is because he wanted to investigate it to make sure it was safe. He was willing to sacrifice himself, not let other people.
Yeah, but if he sacrificed himself, what would happen to Amy? She'd be just stranded, wouldn't she? And then she'd end up getting sucked into it and being wiped from existence herself. So it was a pretty selfish thing.
Well, the TARDIS would open the doors.
Hanging on to something to not be sucked into the crack, along with all the angels, if it wasn't going to bother him.
I know.
Yeah, but me too. I was very bothered by his reaching in there, and yet it takes Rory away. And how did Amy get answered when he's telling her to not forget Rory, and she was already forgetting him, and she's saying, "But I remember the Byzantium and the clerics. Why won't I remember him?" So I don't remember how he answered her.
Well,
because
he basically said it's
her personal life and her timeline is being erased. That's what he said.
Oh, okay.
The death was actually the one part of the story I did like at the time. Now I just find it a bit tedious, but that may be because of the fact that
him die 17 times.
Well, yeah. I know for a fact that 3 episodes from now he's going to pop back up, which at the time we were initially told he'll be in 5 episodes.
Yeah.
And this was the end of his 5 episodes. And
The funny face he makes when he's dying reminds me of Tennant's face when he got killed by the Dalek.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think I was paying enough attention to news to know how many episodes he was supposed to be in.
Mm.
He died in the previous story and then he dies again. I'm going, what?
The doctor should be used to companions dying on him and resurfacing. Yeah. So why Clara is such a mystery, I don't know.
The only other thing that was slightly mildly, not interesting, but annoying, is that if the TARDIS blew up and he's reaching in and finding part of it, there's so many other parts of the TARDIS he could have found. So he just conveniently for the plot finds the bit that says police telephone call Paul.
If he found the one that went on the back side of it and he had to go around the other side to fit it around.
There had to be that bit for the convenience of the plot, but I mean,
could have pulled out the hat stand or something.
The light on top.
They better bring that hat stand back.
They
have, haven't they?
I was just bothered by that whole, like I said, left turn they took with the story. I mean, suddenly the story and everything that just happened is, you know, gone because now we're into a Moffat story.
Yeah, they did the same thing with Closing Time, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where we had River being put in the suit at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I personally felt this two-part. I mean, we were talking about the whole seven minutes or something that's spent on that whole surveillance business that never gets used. And then there's that at the end of the episode as well. And there's a part of me that feels like that was being done to pad the episode out because it was underrunning.
Robert's online.
Right, time.
And the gang's all here.
Yay.
Kobe, be quiet. You speak first.
Hello.
Are you guys recording already?
Yes.
Already?
Yes.
Ooh. For half an hour?
I didn't know that.
Clearly not.
I started at four. Hold on, I got to do a few things first, and I'll be right back.
Oh dear, we can
so just continue on talking.
Robert needs to learn to bring up Google and type in "What time is it on the Isle of Wight?"
Well, I found something. I found something called the World Time Zone Converter, which helped me out.
Hmm. It's not that. I don't know what time he started recording anyway, so I don't know what time you start recording. Sunday.
I'm pretty sure
when
I put down 8
Sundays,
o'clock on the...
I always post something on Facebook to clarify, and Adam always answers, and he did within a few minutes, and
I thought we'd already established that Sunday recording is always at 8 p.m. BST or GMT, depending on whether in British...
But I ask anyway, just so that everyone else, any newbies on Facebook,
like me,
and just Robert, just to make sure we're all on the same page.
Robert, don't worry, but you haven't missed much.
No.
Okay.
We haven't come to the most important part of the show yet. Is this at the point I play some going to the toilet sound effects just to sort of enhance the comedy of this? No.
Okay. No.
Well, Kirby, you need to do everyone then another favor. Don't just ask the time, but then when Adam responds, then you have to give us all our times.
The Captain Kirk did that for us once a few months ago.
Yes, he did.
Although he was wrong on mine.
And for Australia, because he said it's next Tuesday or something like that.
Well, it is.
No, it's not. It's Monday.
And we're never sure how far in the future you are, Reese.
Well, I'm 5:41 a.m. on Monday, the 3rd of June. That's how far in the future I am. Try and figure that out from your current time.
Just let us know when those jetpacks come.
It'll be a while.
And the
I heard that they're
cars.
Developing it, but...
Yeah, the flying cars. Oh, they've been flying cars for a long time.
Well, Robert, are you on now?
No.
No, I guess Robert. You went away. Okay.
Robert.
Robert. We need to hear his assessment of these episodes.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll just ask what Robert his quick assessment, then we'll move on to more important news. But actually, talking about more. Okay, so I was going to put
while we're waiting for him. Yes. Notations like the conference room in the story happens to be a good old used many times place. The I didn't bring
Millennium Stadium.
No,
no.
Hang on. It's the Temple of Peace in Cardiff, which is used quite a lot. And although I think they brought in those bleachers and just kind of put those there because they've been used as Platform 1 in The End of the World and in Gridlock, Fires of Pompeii, the Temple, the Mona Lisa Gallery and Mona Lisa's Revenge.
Was it bothered by the patches of dirt that when they reached through them? I mean, why wasn't that dirt just falling down?
Yeah.
Alien technology.
Exactly. Solarian technology.
Something I forgot to mention earlier.
I'm sorry, terrestrial technology, not alien.
Yeah, terrestrial technology. Something I forgot to mention earlier, if any of you do go back and watch The Sea Devils, pay close attention to the guns the Sea Devils use, because they're quite similar to what the Silurians are using in the second episode.
Yeah, I did notice that. I was quite impressed with that as well.
So obviously, I'm going to have to find those on Netflix.
They should be on there.
Yeah.
DVDs.
Yeah, indeed.
I thought there were some good lines in this, actually. Nazreen asks the Doctor, are you sure this is the best way to enter? Is they going for the front door? And he says, yes, definitely. The front door approach is always the best. Roop, roop, intruder alert. Or the back door is even better.
That was quite an enjoyable sort of run-of-the-mill Doctor Who story. It's just a couple of...
I had not noticed since I was watching last night the E.T. reference that I used when we started.
Elliot.
No, I noticed the Elliot part, but Tony actually says, "I'll be right here." And he points at his.
I'll be right here.
He points at Elliot's heart instead of his head.
Okay.
So.
Brilliant. Right then, Robert. I'm trying to finish off this particular look.
Is Robert back?
Hungry Earth. Yeah, he is back. Yeah.
Yep.
Hungry
Earth.
I'd like to introduce to our new member, Mr. John Smith. Say hello, John.
Hello, John.
Hello, John.
New microphone is what he's referring to.
I know.
Have you made your new microphone, John Smith?
Different.
Yes.
Anyway, so Robert, what do you think of this particular story?
I quite enjoyed it more this time watching it.
Yeah.
Just a number of things. Because I got over the fact that the Silurians were a different species of Silurians. So I could forgive their look more than I did so in the first time. Don't worry, I'm just plugging my laptop in.
Yeah, I thought you were up to something.
That's what she said.
Hey.
Is that what you... Oh.
Good Lord, what on earth was that?
Uh-oh, he just dropped his laptop.
Maybe he got a leg cramp.
Yeah, all right. Don't go on about that.
Oh, no, definitely not. Not one of those.
Oh, God, my knee just...
My name's not
then.
Adam. Oh, no.
My knee felt really weird then. I thought, why is it feeling like that? That hurts. And I stretched my leg out and went click really loud, and it really hurt quite a little bit more. Crap.
Adam, face it, you're getting old.
Yes, I am aware of this.
Adam.
So go on then. So basically, have we summed it up now? Because I want to move on.
I know what you want to talk about, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to talk about.
Move along.
Did we mention a few things that it was really like a lot of the Pertwee era?
Yes,
Matthew said it's an exact copy of Doctor Who and the Silurians.
My exact words were it was an exact copy.
Essentially is the same thing.
I mean, we got with Damon's with the barriers.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was mentioned too. But see, do we need Robert? Should we just have Matthew on the show? I'm only joking, Robert. I'm joking, Robert.
So is Robert saying this?
We can't be without you.
And it was a little reference. Matthew's saying it in a... There was a rip-off.
Yeah. And we ticked most of the boxes, but we want to know what you think.
As I said, it was better just watching it, being able to sit down without sort of like, oh, this is a new Silurian. Oh, I don't like their look. They're not like the old Silurians. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas I just got over that and... You know, as he says, they're a different species. They're the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I got over that and quite enjoyed it. And I thought, Nev, what's her name? McIntosh, is it?
Neve McIntosh, yeah.
She was a lot – I was just stunned by how different she is compared to Vestra.
Yeah, but both characters she played in this one were different to each other as well as being different to Vestra.
Yeah, so I thought she was she's a very, very good actress, isn't she?
It's the accent she puts on for the, is it Aya? Aya? I can't remember her name now.
Alaya.
It's a strange sort of slightly sort of Eastern European accent.
Well, she sounds the same as Madame Vestra, too.
Yeah.
She sounded the same.
Okay, fair enough.
I just had a vision of the second Doctor going,
you've redesigned
the Silurians. Huh? You've redesigned the Silurians. I don't like him.
Yes. Yeah. Precisely, Kirby. That's it.
Anyway, right, we're going to move on. Right, there was some news this week. Yesterday.
Was there?
No! Apparently. Listen, please. About 8
is
p.m.
Is it just a confirmation of what we have all been suspecting all along? Huh?
Please be quiet.
Will you shut up?
About 8 p.m., Who News come up with big announcement, big Doctor Who announcement coming at midnight. I thought, okay. And then, of course, all these things started appearing what it was going to be. And I tweeted, it's going to be probably the fact that Matt Smith's leaving. I'm pretty sure I did tweet that. I can verify that, but I'm pretty sure I did. But before midnight, the actual news did come through. The interesting thing was there was a picture of an actor from Merlin and various other things standing next to Jenna Louise Coleman holding a sorry screwdriver. Probably a Photoshop picture, but still nevertheless.
Yes, definitely Photoshop.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting because that name hasn't come up as one of the ones that has been. It's in very kindly. Mr. Ben Shoveler has provided me with the sort of odds. Do you want to hear the odds?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. This is Mr. Ben Shoveler, who works for Ladbrokes, so he'll know. These are the current odds for who's going to be the next Doctor.
Other betting shops are available.
In case listeners, you didn't know, Matt Smith is leaving Doctor Who. Woo! What a surprise. Right, these are the odds. Right, at 50-1, Bill Bailey. 33-1, Hugh Laurie, what? Miranda Hart, and Tony Head.
Miranda Hart!
All of them at the same time.
25-1, Daniel Radcliffe, Richard Armitage, and Tim Wright. At 20-1, David Walliams, David Tennant, Peter Capaldi, and Helen Mirren. I forgot to put the Dane
in. Right, I'm going to start off here. He's not coming back as the Doctor permanently.
Thank you.
There's no need to get angry.
50th anniversary.
There's no need to get angry. I'm just reading off the odds. Right. 16-1 is Tom Hiddleston. 14-1.
He'd be good.
Stephen Mangan. Or Mangan, or how do you say that? 10-1, Alex Jennings. 9-1, Packet of Twiglets. Sorry?
Yes, it is a packet of Twiglets. How did you guess, Adam?
Well, what else is it going to be?
Exactly.
Number 9 is... Sorry, number 9?
I'd guess.
Yeah, no, sorry, 9-1 is Russell Tovey. 8-1, Derek Jacobi. They forgot to put the Sir bit in there. 7-1, Harry Lloyd. 6-1, and very unlikely, I think it's probably more, this should actually more be more likely, 66-1, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Bruce Patton.
5-1, Ben Wishaw, or Wishaw, obviously.
Wishaw.
Know,
Shoveler.
He'd be interesting.
At 4-1, David Harwood. And favourite is Rory Kinnear.
But David Hasselhoff.
I thought you were going to say Rory Williams for a second.
Yeah. When I saw the name Kinnear, I thought it said Roy Kinnear. I thought, God, he died years ago. How's he going to come back and play the Doctor? But I think Rory Kinnear is either his son or his grandson.
It's his son who you may recognise as playing Tanner in the Daniel Craig James Bond films.
Oh, there you go.
And also played Dennis Thatcher in Margaret Thatcher, The Long Walk to Finchley back in 2009.
Of course he did, yes. But a bit of a stab in the dark, and he's favourite. So
last time you came on, we mentioned Margaret Thatcher for some reason.
Okay. But anyway, right.
What about doing something very timey-wimey and have John Hurt as the new Doctor?
I'd like that.
No.
That would be interesting.
I'd like that
too
because
old.
It would be... He's too old. No, he's not.
Too old. There's a lot of physical... strength needed to film it.
No, but this is what they used to do with Doctor Who. They used to have the Doctor was old and the companions, Ian, to be precise, used to do all the running around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was then in the 60s. This is 2013. It's a quicker show. Quicker show. More demand on the actor.
He's got a sonic screwdriver. He can just wave it a few times. Like, Robert.
This is my empty pack of Twiglets.
I wish you'd be quiet.
Waving his screwdriver around.
So anyway, right. What obviously, It's quite sad he's going to go, but it was coming to his time, wasn't it? I mean, three series is generally what doctors do these days. I'm slightly disappointed he confirmed that he was doing series 8 and then he's not.
Exactly, that's what I'm
saying. But I'm also really excited that other Christmas special, it's not that long. And we're going to, because last time when Tennant announced he was leaving, we had about a year and a half between him saying he's going to leave and then we actually saw him go. At least they've left it fairly late.
I don't want to go!
I hope he doesn't do that. But we're going to see it.
He's going to have a more dignified exit this time.
I hope he actually uses his childhood enthusiasm and realises, hey, I'm a Time Lord and we can regenerate. Not many people could do that. There's got to be a new me, Geronimo, and gets really excited about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've had time to get used to the idea. It was going to happen. We're never going to get another Tom Baker or John Pertwee 5-year stint or whatever. It's always going to be 2 or 3 years
you
want now.
You know what's annoying though?
What?
Is that he's not going out. Well, we don't know about the next two episodes, but it's sort of like his last series isn't much to sort of go by on, you know what I mean?
But no, Robert. Maybe so, but he was magnificent, and I think he can always sort of look back on.
He always has been.
Now, since the announcement is coming as late as it has come, with all these reassurances that he is coming back before this, do you think maybe his experience making that movie suddenly made it click for him? Is that so? It's a fairly late decision.
That's what I'm thinking, and that he's. We do know from comments he was making a year or so ago, back at Comic-Con, that he was getting offered a lot of film roles and stuff that he could not do because of Doctor Who. And we know he's in the film he just finished. I think he's doing now or just finished doing was because he was in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And also the fact that we've been told there's going to be a gap. I think that he may have signed on to do it, and then it turned out there was a longer gap. And so he said, can I get out of it? You let me out of the contract, and that may explain it.
Yeah, but also, you've got to bear in mind, if he's leaving at the Christmas special, that's something they're probably filming around about now, isn't it? So that something must have been put in place so they could write in the regeneration, etc., etc., you know, and cast someone, because obviously it's very important how they, you know, cast it. They can't just pick out anybody, and obviously casting Matt Smith took a lot of time and effort. So, you know, it's got to be somebody good. I'd just like, for once, somebody I've heard of.
They may have already decided. Yeah.
I don't want it to be someone I've heard of, because I can't think of anyone who'd be good enough.
The latest Doctor Who
David Tennant. Be hired.
To the fact that they're settling down on writers for the Christmas episode, so I wonder if it's even been written yet.
Hey, I thought they were filming it.
No, they've just finished filming the 50th. The Christmas special has not even been shot yet.
Oh, yeah, June. Wow. Well, it'll be around about now then, because it's usually June they shoot the Christmas special.
Yeah, sometime in the next month or so.
Yeah, but by the way, listeners, if you wonder what the background noise is, that New Zealand bloke is eating again on the podcast.
What New Zealand bloke?
I wonder if Moffat.
What are you saying? That's preposterous.
That sucks a clock.
Well, no, please.
It would be a good time for Moffat.
I'll have some fush and chucks.
Be quiet.
There's a lot of buzz out there about other people that would like to run the show, so I'm wondering if this is Moffat's exit as well.
I don't think it is. I think he'll do this. This will be his next series. That'll be the last. Let's hope so, eh? But, I'm quite excited by the idea of a new Doctor. And although I don't really want it to be a woman, I certainly, unlike other people, won't say, right, I'm not watching it anymore because I love Doctor Who. But I'd hope it's not a woman.
That idea has been around since Tom Baker announced he was leaving in 1981. And he started that rumor off at a press conference. And it's one of those ideas, as John Nathan Turner put it, it's one of those ideas that once introduced will never go away.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe
and
so.
And seeing that Joanna Lumley did it for us already. So.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
But, I mean, it'd just be too much of a departure because it's a male character. I know they say that they can regenerate into him, but it's a male character, isn't it? We've never really seen any Time Lords in the history of Doctor Who, even though there was a mention of it.
The Corsair and the Doctor's wife.
Yeah, that's the only mention of it, but we've never actually seen it. It's always been the same gender, all the way through. And I don't want them to do that, you know. If they want to cast a black actor. They're talking about casting the man who played the weird sort of, you know, the one that was fancying his daughter in the End of Time, isn't it? That's the favourite black actor.
And I can,
even though I'm sure, even though I know he's probably a very good actor, I will never be able to detach myself from that part he played in Doctor Who.
Yes.
But I may not be, you know, reaching out far enough to remember all shows, but it seems to me that most shows that are headed by women become women's shows, if you know what I mean. You kind of lose, I don't think there's big male followings for shows that are headed up by women.
Yeah, there wouldn't be much point of Clara being there, would there? If the Doctor regenerated into women.
You missed my Facebook post about the Tom Baker in Blackadder.
So, Rob, I wish to hire you and your ship. Can we shake on it?
Ah! You have a woman's hand, my lord.
Oh, yes.
I saw that.
Yes.
I saw that.
one of my favourite episodes. But yeah, back to Doctor Who. Basically, as I said, I'd like to have heard of the actor, because I hadn't heard of Matt Smith before he came into Doctor Who, although he's been a great success. I had heard of David Tennant, because while that first series of Doctor Who was on, Casanova was on, he was outstanding in it. And also,
he was doing the voice for Confidential, too.
Was he?
No, Simon Pegg did the voice for Confidential.
David Tennant did one, too.
Did he?
Well, that was during Series 3. He went and hosted one.
Season 1.
He didn't. I
promise you, Kirby. He did Kirby Matthew. He did one.
I've seen them all recently because I was writing a fanzine article about that first series. I'm telling you, David Tennant, he shows up in the one about the Christmas invasion, but he doesn't narrate any of them.
He's narrated one from season one.
All right,
calm down.
We'll find
it on the internet and I'll post it.
I'm not spending
the
next
hour
or so talking about whether this did or did not happen. Yes, indeed. Right.
Now, getting back to talking about the possibility of a black doctor, Patterson's Joseph's name had been bad.
But he's not even in the list.
Really?
I
think he would be good.
Casting.
Yeah.
Well, Idris Elba is not on the list either, but I think he'd be interesting.
You would.
Well, then in Torchwood Miracle Day, they had a black American.
No.
I hated him, but a lot of people seemed to like him.
David Tennant did the narration for the very first Doctor Who Confidential called A New Dimension.
There. That's what I was talking about.
Well, there you go.
That's not on the DVD, though, is it?
I don't know. I'm using Wikipedia, so.
Are you? Oh, absurd.
Oh, you do that too, John. Kirby does that.
Well, Reese, I apologize. I stand corrected.
Thank you.
Or are you sitting?
I'm pretty sure I'd be sitting, actually. Yeah.
I'm sitting.
Stand through the recording. You know what's nice for me is I don't have to hold my microphone in front of my mouth all the time. Yeah.
So now you can eat too.
I'm hungry, and all I have is an empty thing of Twiglets.
Oh, be quiet.
Don't open up in here.
Too late. This lift has just entered the Twiglet Zone, dedicated to the enjoyment of those knobbly, crunchy snacks, whole wheat, savory, and dangerously irresistible.
We apologise for the delay. Somebody's opened a bag of Twiglets between stations.
Sorry, lads. There are some unopened Twiglets in there.
Beware the Twiglet Zone. Easy to enter, impossible to leave.
Are you still eating?
Breakfast.
Well, it's got to be you, isn't it? You're the one with the mouthful.
I'm not.
What?
Robert and his midnight snack.
My 4:05 a.m. snack.
Battle of the Pedants. Da 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 da.
Well, did anyone listen all the way at the end of the last podcast?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, is there something
to it? Oh.
I'm not caught up yet.
There is there is, after a few seconds of silence, there's a little bit of our banter.
Yes.
during the quiz.
How'd that get in there?
Is it embarrassing, Kirby?
You dirty boy.
Pardon? What do I do?
Would I be embarrassed by it, Kirby?
No.
Embarrassing your podcasters?
Mary,
I'm
you
lost
right?
now.
Sorry, Matthew, were you going to say something?
I was just going to give Concus Cerberus a plug, if that's
okay. That's what I was hoping you were going to...
Oh, please.
Yes,
have they got a bar?
This.
It will be taking place this coming weekend, if the episode comes out the next day or two, June 8th and 9th at the Holiday Inn by Madison Square Mall in Huntsville, Alabama. Pre-registration has closed, but you can purchase tickets at the door if you did not pre-register. I'll bring up the ticket prices real quick. I know that the weekend pass is $45 for the whole weekend, or if you just want to come on Saturday, the price will be a single pass for Saturday is $30, and then the single pass for Sunday is $20. And our main guest for this year will be Caitlin Blackwood, a.k.a. Little Amelia Pond.
Although she's not so little anymore.
No, I don't expect she is. But I don't think you mean
she's a
big girl, yeah.
She's 12 years old. Calm down.
Hang on. Magic, what's she doing? Yeah.
I was actually making a joke about the size of
her. He was trying to vomit on one of my coats. Anyway, right. Basically, what I'm looking for my new doctor is somebody I've heard of, somebody that's not too young.
Reese Patton.
And, that's about it, really.
Not too young,
not too young. Somebody that's already in their 30s or 40s. I wouldn't mind if it was. Who's that munching?
Me.
Oh, is it? So basically, that's that. And also, the other thing I'd like I'd like to know quite soon who it is, or on the actual Christmas special itself, because I'm sure they won't be able to keep it secret. But if they could keep it secret until we actually see the regeneration, that would be absolutely superb.
Yes. And I think it would be cool, except those of us in the US would
already
find
know.
Out pretty quickly.
Yeah, but to be fair, that doesn't actually matter. And how many people have I annoyed now?
Hey, we got to see the five doctors before you did.
Exactly. But no, so, as I say, they're not
going to
do that.
And who got to see the name of the doctor before we did? Some people.
Yeah.
210 Americans.
Yeah. Anyway, but they could do it.
I'm still not convinced that really happened. I think it might have been
It did happen. What it was is that it was the people who pre-ordered the Blu-ray from the BBC America online shop or pre-ordered it through their catalog. And it was sent to the 210 people who pre-ordered it that way, because the discs obviously have to be manufactured ahead of time to get them sent out.
God's sake, Robert.
You're punctuating that with munching, Robert.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the next doctor being older, because I think it's time for all the young fans to see that older is also cool, because Doctor Who kind of sets that bar as to what's cool.
How old do you class as old?
I'd say 40. At least in their 40s.
At the end.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind seeing a story being about how River meets him for the first time, because we haven't had that yet.
Yes, we have. When she regenerated,
born.
Let's kill Hitler. When she regenerated from Melody into River, she meets the Doctor for the first time and then tries to kill him. I'd like to see this new version of the Doctor meet River somehow, because I do like the idea of River knowing all the Doctor's faces, etc.
Yeah, I do too.
Anyway, so that's what I want to mind.
She does have
of a 20-something doctor kissing a 50-something River.
Yeah, indeed. That's basically what I'm
River
looking for.
River does say that she has a spotter's guide.
That too.
Yeah.
To the galaxy. Doctor.
That's what I'd like from my doctor. I'd like to either find out quite soon who it's going to be and not be disappointed by who it's going to be, and fall into the brackets or the descriptions I've just outlined. So what do you want from your new doctor?
Well, I'd counter that with somebody I don't know, because I can't think of anyone that I do know that would be good enough. So
what did you think when they announced Matt Smith as the new Doctor then?
I thought, well, I haven't heard of him, but I'm going to give him a chance and he gives us as the Doctor. Well, actually, I had heard of him. He'd been in Ruby in the Smoke with Billy Piper, and I'd read that book series, and then I saw it, and I thought, hey, look, it's Rose from Doctor Who. And little did I know, it was the Doctor from Doctor Who as well.
Right, who else?
I wouldn't mind being surprised. I would maybe not like to get an early announcement. I'd like to meet him for the first time and know who he is at the Christmas episode.
Shake his hand, go out for a drink with him, maybe.
I think that they will announce within the next month when they start filming the special. Yeah.
You know,
really? I don't think that they can. They're not going to be able to keep it quiet.
I hope not.
Or, sorry.
No, just thinking before I forget. You know, they talk about are they going to be a white man or a black man or a black woman or a white woman. Let's not forget. There are very talented actors of always all creeds, so I think it's unfair not to mention the possibility of there being an Asian or whatever race of actor. If they're a good actor and they can play the Doctor, that would be really interesting.
I thought you were going to say Australian for a second then.
No, that would be absurd.
Did I, mate?
Have you not seen that K9 TV series? I think that is the thing. We do not want any Australian actors.
We could do better.
Just stopping me, TARDIS here.
Anyway, sorry, carry on.
I think, actually, if the actor, if it was Australian, I'd only watch it if he was doing a British accent.
Oh,
like,
God.
I think Guy Pearce would be good enough.
Well, Guy Pearce can do a British accent.
Yeah, watch The King's Speech. He was King...
Oh, yeah, he was, actually.
He was playing Edward VIII in that.
Okay. Edward VIII, yeah.
Okay, I'll shut up. Carry on.
There's a possibility nobody's considered, which is they could end it on a cliffhanger and not have to cast yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hope they don't do that, though. That would be such a letdown, Christmas special, wouldn't it? You're waiting to see the new Doctor, and then you don't.
Well... Yeah.
As long as the Christmas special is called Twelfth Night, I will be very happy.
No, you know what I think? Basically, they've got to do it. They've said they're going to do the regeneration on the Christmas special. They've got to do it. What a way to unwrap a present. It's already in there as Matt Smith, and the present will unwrap at the end of the episode, and we get to see their new Doctor. That is a fantastic Christmas present for a Doctor Who fan on the 50th
anniversary. And then we'll have to wait until next September before we see it.
Or we could just see him regenerating, but we don't see what he regenerates into.
This is what people were saying when David Tennant was going.
Because we know they did that with Eccleston, because they hadn't cast Tennant when Eccleston announced he was when Eccleston was leaving, when they were shooting the regeneration. And in fact, the two bits of that regeneration were in fact shot months apart without the actors ever meeting.
Yes, they were, but, I mean, I just think it's really exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. What about you, Kirby?
It doesn't matter to me who it is, as long as they're British.
Cool. Mary?
Well, I said I would like older, and I would prefer male to female. I don't care what race.
I'm 47. Am I old enough?
Yeah, you're good to go.
Definitely old enough, maybe.
beg your pardon.
Isn't that a quote from Monty Python and the Holy Grail? I'm 47. I'm not old.
I'm just saying older.
I've got a question for you, Kirby.
I'm suggesting 37.
I'm waiting for this question with bated breath. Go on, Reese.
Okay. The actor was a good enough actor to portray a British person, would you be happy with a non-British person? He's gone quiet.
What? I'm sorry, I was looking something up. What?
Oh, what a surprise.
Oh, thank you for paying me attention. I really appreciate the respect. if the actor portraying the Doctor wasn't British but was good enough at portraying a British character, would you be happy with it?
Yes.
I guess for me, they don't even have to be British or act British.
It's a British show. We've had this discussion on Facebook.
It doesn't mean everyone else can't be British around him.
Yeah, I think,
just can't see an American. Let's put it that way.
What you're saying is that being the Doctor, he probably needs to have a British accent. But if you've got somebody who isn't British that can pull off an acceptable, believable British accent,
Matthew given his opinion?
Yeah, did you give your opinion, Matthew? What do you want from your new doctor?
I think he was in the middle of it.
I was like...
Yeah, what have you just had 5 minutes where we weren't recording and where you could have eaten?
That was me again. That was my empty bag.
I would like to have somebody older playing the part. I think it would make for a nice change. Somebody around Eccleston's age or even Tennant's age, because Tennant was in his mid-30s when he played the part.
Enough, then I'd go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Preferably British, though. I think if they could pull off if whoever it is could pull off a British accent as well as Hugh Laurie was pulling off the American accent.
I'm so glad you ended that sentence with pull off an English accent. I was really worried what you were going to say.
But if they could do a good job as that, that's not any better. Oh, dear.
Yes, I think we know what you mean.
We lose Robert like this a lot.
Anyway, yes. So basically, if it's an American chap or any nationality that can do a really good British accent, then it might be acceptable. That's what you're saying.
Yep. Yeah. 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 My first choice is no longer an option because he's now been in the show. So.
Yeah. I'd rather it's somebody who hasn't already played a part, unless it was somebody really good like Ian McKellen. Yeah.
Who are you suggesting?
Richard E. Grant.
Richard E.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm.
Richard E. He's already been the doctor.
Yeah, but that would work.
Yeah, well, that was part of the...
Just think, yeah. the fact that the Great Intelligence has entered the Doctor's timeline, it's quite feasible that he might regenerate into somebody that looks like Simeon. So that would work.
Yeah, but he's been the top of my list for ages, and I don't know if that's really an option now since he's done the Great Intelligence. So
can I bring something up, though?
Please don't make a mess, though.
Remember, Romana chose their figure from Lady Astra, or whatever her name was, from Armageddon Factor.
Princess Astra.
That's true.
So you can always pick, you know, someone who you know, whatever. So.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Not always, but yes.
They want Lala Ward
to
play.
I think that he's now a little too old.
Okay.
Good one, Bruce.
I have got some feedback to try and get through before we move on to this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. And England are losing 1-0 at the moment, so I'm not particularly happy. So let's see what we can do. Let's see if I can get this to play without annoying my wife.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood, California, with my journal feedback since the season is over. And unfortunately, I did not review the episode currently under discussion, even though I have watched it. But I don't feel comfortable giving my thoughts on it since I haven't seen it in a while. So I will speak on the topic of the hour, which is Matt Smith leaving Doctor Who. You know, when I first clicked on Matthew's link in the 20 megabyte Facebook page and saw it on the BBC site, I was kind of shocked. But then again, you know, when you think about it, you know, he's had three series spread out over an extended period of time. That's a pretty long run for, you know, this iteration of the show. I know Tennant has been in more, but they seem about the same. You know, he's been around for a while. So I know some people love him and don't want him to go, and some people still miss David Tennant. You know, I think Doctor Who, I think Matt Smith for the new series has been the best actor playing the Doctor, meaning he's inhabited the part of the Doctor the best out of the three who have been the Doctor in the new incarnation of the series.
Yes.
But he's my least favorite Doctor of the new of the three. I'd probably have to go with you know, with David Tennant. So I don't dislike Matt Smith. I like him. He's fun to watch. He's great. And like I said, I think he's the best actor who's inhabited the part, who's played the Doctor, who's played the Doctor the best. He's just not my favorite. So, I mean, it's okay for me that he's moving on. And good for him, you know, is getting his movie career on and lots of opportunities opened up for him. So that's great. I see a lot of chatter about, everyone wishing that Moffat would go with him and everything. I know I have mixed feelings about that. Mm-hmm. I think Moffat has had a good run, and I'm sure he's got a lot more in him. He has no intentions of leaving, at least in the next two series, I would bet. So I think he'll be around. He'll be splitting time between Sherlock and Doctor Who, but... who knows if that's really been an issue in the overall general quality of scripts. There's been debate either way where, people think that his time away from Doctor Who running Sherlock has hurt Doctor Who. Some people saying that it has no effect at all because Gatiss handles most of Sherlock. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I don't think you can be a showrunner on two major BBC juggernaut shows and not have your time and your energies divided. Even though Gatiss does a lot of heavy lifting on Sherlock, Stephen Moffat is still an equal partner in that. So he definitely, is weighing in and is taking his creative energy. But that's neither here nor there. It'll work out the way it works out. I love both shows. I love Doctor Who more. So I'm hoping Doctor Who gets the most attention, which I think it is. But yeah, I mean, he's probably coming to, his end too. It's coming up. And you have to think, other people who are shocked at Matt Smith leaving, I don't think we're ever going to have a super long, Doctor Who run. For one actor like Tom Baker, I think that was an anomaly. It was the right time and the right place, the right era and the right actor playing the part. So I doubt you're going to have an actor going like, seven series, what Tom Baker did?
It was.
So it's about right, and what act, and actors these days don't want to be typecast as the Doctor their whole career. So I think three to four series is most. I would be surprised if you ever have a Doctor going over four series, just for their career's sake. But those are my thoughts on Matt Smith leaving. I wish him well. So we'll have two episodes, the 50th anniversary and the Christmas special, and then no more Matt Smith. There's been talk about this English actor replacing him, scuttlebutt about that. I've never heard of the guy. But I think he's a big British actor. He's been in Merlin. The name escapes me, but whomever they pick, I'm sure they'll do a good job. I mean, when people announced Matt Smith, people thought they were crazy because he looked too young or he looks too weird, and he turned out to be a great doctor. So, they'll find a good doctor, and that just makes the show more exciting. And change is good. Change is good. That's the whole point of Doctor Who, is the doctors change, and that's why it's lasted 50 years. So, anyway, those are my thoughts, my rambling thoughts. You guys have a great week.
Thank you, Patrick. Goodbye.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
It sounded like Matthew wanted to respond to some of that. Matthew?
Yeah, just to touch back on the Sherlock thing.
Yeah.
At the moment, Sherlock's schedule at the moment is not being dictated by Stephen Moffat on Doctor Who. It's not being, and Doctor Who's thing's not being dictated by Moffat on Sherlock. It's being Sherlock's own production schedule is now being dictated around Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, who are both off in New Zealand doing The Hobbit. And it's being dictated around them. It has nothing to do with Doctor Who. And the split series and the more recently, the lack of two-parters that we're having on Doctor Who has to do with the budget cuts to the BBC and the BBC's own money crunching. So.
Okay.
Can I just step away for just a moment?
Pardon?
What?
I think he said he's going away for just a moment. See,
can I just say something?
See, Twiglet Eaters, he has a mute button. It's clever, that, isn't it?
I have a mute button, too.
I do, too. Sit.
Like that.
Adam?
Yes?
Adam? I was just going to say, with regards to, Tom Baker and, say, John Pertwee being how long they were on the shows, is they were older actors, though, so they'd done a lot previously, whereas with the younger actors, obviously they don't want to be typecast, etc. So,
pardon you. I thought you burped then. Sorry, no problem. Sorry, Robert.
Oh, you are mean.
So,
killed him.
Well, it did sound like a burp. Carry on.
Oh, now you got to start it.
We're just going, ah.
I swear.
No, don't swear. Please don't.
No, well, hang on, I've got to turn the volume up. Their ages allowed them to remain on the show.
Sorry.
That old, was it?
Sorry,
it's early 40s.
I accidentally muted you. I do apologize.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I didn't mean
How did
to. I was trying to turn the volume up and get the. Because with Patrick's audio, I had to sort of adjust the volumes, and I turned your audio down because it was, just not quite right. But then I forgot to turn it back up again. Sorry, listeners. And then when I went to turn it back to the right setting, I pressed the mute button by mistake. It is getting dark in this room. I should really turn the light on, but I am a bit busy at the moment. Sorry, Robert, you carry on.
No, I think with their ages, it allowed them to do a bit more. Tom Baker, I think it was in his early 40s or mid-40s, I think, when he started.
He was, yes. I think that was a standard sort of average age, wasn't it, in the early days? I think Hartnell was around 45, 50 when he started. Pertwee was around that age. So was obviously Tom Baker was a bit younger than the others.
That's what I'm saying.
He ended up being the same
age.
Yeah. I wouldn't object to there being someone, because I'm certain this. I heard mention of Roger Moore being in Doctor Who, not as the Doctor, but I mean.
Oh, my goodness. He's 90-something.
He's quite old. But he's still got his marbles. But not him to play the Doctor. What I'm saying is, even if John Hurt is in his 70s, he could still be very fit in his 70s and still be able to do action stuff. I mean, he's not ridiculously old at the age of 72. It does rather depend on your lifestyle. So it's not out of the question a 72-year-old actor could play or have the energy to play the Doctor.
With the rate they're pumping out the shows, six episodes 1 year, seven episodes another, then I'm sure he could keep up with that pace then.
Maybe. But we'll see, won't we? But I wouldn't object to there being a distinguished older actor, slightly old, maybe in his 50s, playing the Doctor.
I wouldn't mind that either.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, I'm back.
He's back. Hey, I can't remember what we were going to ask you now.
Welcome.
I've got some more audio feedback. And it goes a little bit like this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Inkirk. Farewell, then, Matt Smith. You are my favourite Doctor. Like David Tennant and the composer Vivaldi, you are doing the four seasons. Matt will have done the series 5, 6, 7A, 7B, the 50th anniversary, and Christmas 2013. During the Name of the Doctor seance scene, when I heard Vivaldi's The Four Seasons, I took it as a hint that either Smith or Moffat were leaving soon.
Ooh.
At least Jim Louise is not leaving, so it is not genocide. The Hungry Earth, Cold Blood by Chris Chibnall. The title of The Hungry Earth seems to have a double meaning. The ground is swallowing up people, and also the leader of the underground city, Eldane, suggests that Silurian technology could solve the planet's problems. Rory and Amy see their future selves waving at them. This seems to be to show, at the end of the story, that Rory never existed, and that time can be rewritten. Later in the series, there's no mention of Rory or Amy going back to Wales to wave at themselves.
Sorry, goodness. Distracted.
It seems like Homo Reptilia will become part of Earth civilization from about the year 3000. But we never see them in stories set in the future.
That's true.
Doctor pulls a pair of binoculars and a catapult from his pocket. This is part of a running gag from the classic series that the Doctor can often produce what is needed from his pocket.
Like Trouton.
I wonder if that is where they got the handcuffs and chain they use on Alaya. It seems odd that the drilling project or the church would happen to have them. The TARDIS is pulled down to an underground city, but there is nobody there ready to capture it. The Doctor has 15 minutes to save the Silurian city. In the 11th hour, he only had 20 minutes to save the world.
Sure, in the
Flash Gordon film, Flash only had 14 minutes. Pen E. Fan, on the side of the Meals on Wheels van, is the name of Welsh Mountain. Meals on Wheels is a service that supplies hot food to pensioners, that is, senior citizens. Bye for now.
Bye, Ian. Isn't it lovely getting feedback from Ian Kerr? He's the only one that's really, really reliable, isn't he? Pardon?
Yeah.
Oh, a note about not seeing the Silurians and stories set in the future. We did have them referred to saw one in Dinosaurs in a Spaceship.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point.
Yep, that's true.
Yep.
But we also had Warriors of the Deep set in the future as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is set in 2084. So.
Oh!
Yeah. Well, it's set in the future, though.
Matthew, your microphone is acting
up. You're being now.
Yes.
Oh, no. Matthew, you've gone all...
How do I sound now?
You've gone all Kirby.
Old Kirby.
Yeah. Yes. Pre-regeneration Kirby.
Pre-Johnson. Yes.
What about now?
Exactly the same. Right.
About now.
Doesn't matter though. We can still understand what you're saying. What I'm going to do, I'm going to get a newfangled device called a pen and paper for this week's quiz because there are five people is more than my automatic scoreboard can cope with. So bear with me. By the way, while Ian's feedback was coming up, Wayne Rooney just scored an absolutely amazing goal right in the top corner, and it's now Brazil 1, England 2.
Yes, we all heard.
Well, Adam was saying that Ian is so faithful with feedback. You know, Patrick Bishop is becoming a very faithful feedback. That's much appreciated.
Yep.
You sound like you die every time you hiccup.
Sorry. Well, now that I've got my laptop back, I should be sending in feedback more often. So.
Hey.
Well, good. Right. And you and Kirby are going to have to give us a full report on Concasturberus.
Yes, but hopefully...
I wonder if we can arrange something on Sunday to...
Brazil scored another goal. It's 2-2.
Amira. Harry.
Yeah.
I thought it very funny how Missy just happened to mention about my colonoscopy, saying, hope we don't get a video of that. And then next you say, Kirby's turn is next.
I have a picture of my colonoscopy.
I didn't even notice. I thought I put that under... I thought I put that under Adam's video.
Yeah, but Missy said, just make sure Robert keeps the colonoscopy for himself. And directly under that...
I just put my iPad on my lap and it's really cold. Right.
Your lap or the iPad?
I guess I didn't notice that.
All we have to do is proclaim Reese the winner and...
Yeah, you did.
How many times did you watch it, Reese?
Once.
Yes.
Oh, you got no chance. You got no chance, then, have you?
So he's going to walk away with
it's going to be a battle between Matthew and me, isn't it?
Right. So, listeners.
Maybe not.
It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Of course, the questions this week are on the Hungry Earth Cold Blood episode. And the first question this week goes to Robert. Robert. These are quite easier, to be fair. I've been quite kind in you this week.
Easier?
Yeah. What book was Elliot trying to read?
Easy, huh?
That's not easy. I didn't pay any attention to it.
Well, you should have been.
I tried to. I didn't see the title in shot.
No idea.
Okay, anybody else to come in with the answer?
I had no idea, was it?
Was it Grimwald?
Ooh, no, it wasn't, but really good guess. It was the Gruffalo.
Right, Gruffalo, no.
This is for Reese.
What's the Gruffalo? Precisely.
It's a children's story. Right, this is for Reese. Are you ready, Reese?
Stratton.
Where is the Doctor trying to take Amy and Rory in Hungry Earth?
I know that.
You're trying to get to Rio.
That's the correct answer.
Easy.
Matthew.
That was too easy. Why didn't I get that one?
Matthew.
Yes, sir. Yes,
who does the Doctor pretend he is using the psychic paper?
Psyching.
Psychic.
From the Ministry of Drill?
I'd like to have the rest of the sentence.
I don't know.
I'll give you a point. Shush. I'll give you a point for Ministry of Drills. Would anybody else like to finish the rest of it for another point?
Drills and something else.
Clearly.
Obviously.
Drills and diggy things?
No. Well, surely a drill is a diggy thing. The answer is...
I was making it a bit more specific than Robert's.
The answer is Earth and Science. Ministry of Drills, Earth and Science. Next question is for Kirby. What is the name of the Asian scientist?
Nasreen...
Chowdhury.
A point deducted from Reese. And 2 points to Kirby.
And I didn't remember the rest, and it's too late now.
Right. Mary, that's a question for you. Mary?
Yes. Well, did I get a point for having half of it?
You got 2 points. You got Reese's point from his previous question.
Oh, no, okay.
I'm fine with deducting it, but give it to someone else, I will not accept.
No, I've given it to Kirby.
No, you haven't.
I didn't remember the last name, sorry.
Anyway, right, Mary. This is for Mary.
Yes.
Right. What does the doctor realise is happening to the Earth at the drilling site?
Happening at the Earth?
To the Earth at the drilling site. When he's at the drilling site, he realises something's happening to the Earth. What is it?
Well, that there's something trying to come up.
Yeah, it's what he calls it. That's the important part of the... Well, it's
the
answer.
The geothermal tunnels?
Nope. And would that come in with the answer?
No.
It's a performance of bluegrass music?
No, the answer is... The answer is... bioprogramming. Right.
I thought you said they were easy.
No, they are easy. They're all in the episode.
What is your idea of easy?
They were all in the episode. You were all watching it. Right, then. Next question goes to Robert. What is the name of Elliot's father?
I know.
E.T.?
Incorrect. Anybody else like to come in for a point?
Mo.
It's Mo.
That's a point for Reese.
Beard.
Mo. Yes. Right, the next question goes to Reese. The doctor admits to not being able to make a decent what?
I know. Can't make a decent... No, pass it on.
Me, it's a meringue.
It's correct.
I was going to say souffle, but that's more recent than...
Yes.
This question
I knew something Reese did not.
This question's for Kirby.
Hallelujah.
Kirby?
Yeah.
No, that's John. that's John. Kirby?
Hold on.
Oh, John, quiet. We want Kirby.
Right. What did Elliot leave at home?
His headphones.
There's a correct answer.
Reese's Pieces.
Yay.
This is Mary.
That was easy.
Mary?
Yes.
What does the doctor say after Rory says the sonic screwdriver is rubbish because it doesn't do wood?
He says, don't diss the sonic.
Is the correct answer.
Mary!
You got that around the wrong way, though. You said, what does Rory say after the doctor says...
Oh, shut up. She got the answer right. Be quiet.
You're right. It's the right... Yes.
Right. The scores at halfway stage are, in last place, with no points, is Robert. In second to last place, with 1 point, is Matthew. In third to last place, with 2 points, is Reese. In second place, with 3 points, is Mary. And in the lead, with 4, is John. I mean, Kirby.
Great. How could that be?
Well, because you've got 4 points. Right.
Demand a recap.
Well, that means I've got a lot of chances of going to the bottom, like I should be.
All right, the next question goes to Robert.
It was plummet.
Robert.
Yeah, that quote I was almost going to use for my introductory quote. That's how I knew it.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes,
right.
Adam.
What words are on the logo of the van that the doctor takes the fire extinguisher from?
Oh, it's Meals on Wheels, but I don't know.
Ooh, I know.
What all this?
Okay, well...
Go on, Mary.
It's Penny Van.
It is.
Penny Fan.
It is indeed.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. It was in Ian's feedback, but I couldn't remember it.
Right, what? This is for Reese. This is for Reese.
Oh, dear.
What does the doctor call the last of the species remark? Because he says...
I'm the last of my species.
Alea says, I'm the last of my species.
I know that one.
And he says...
If it's Mary then, because I don't know it.
I know it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the Campari defense.
There's the correct answer.
Yeah. Right,
next question is
really
for...
I'm really not good at this at 6 in the morning.
I took notes.
Next question for Matthew. Matthew?
Yes.
What other name for Silurians does the doctor spout other than Homo reptilia?
Eoskins.
Is correct answer.
Yes.
You could, if you said Earthlians, I would accept it that as well. Because he does say Earthlians.
I like that line. They're Earthlians.
Right. Next question is for Kirby.
Yes.
No, I said Kirby. That's John. What year did Gladys Powell, the owner of the grave, die?
Oh,
my goodness.
Didn't notice. I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
58.
When was this set? I'm going to say 2017.
Wrong. Anybody else like to come in with another guess?
1958?
Quite incorrect. The answer was 2014. Now, I did actually mention this cunningly while we were talking about the programme, but it was 2014. Next question goes to Mary. Are you ready, Mary?
Ready.
What is Alea's sister called?
Oh, I know that one.
Alea.
Hold on.
No, looking it up.
No, that's the doctor. It's Restack.
Is the correct answer?
Yeah.
Right.
Yay!
Here we go. Right. Next question.
I thought it sounded like Caster backwards, but it's not. It's Cat.
I don't know why you don't like this quiz.
Okay,
Mary.
What we'll
You're
do?
Excellent.
What we'll do then? We'll just go.
I know for a change.
Recap on the scores. Right, in last place with no points is Robert.
No, there's no need to recap, Mike.
In fourth place with 2 points is Reese. Third place with 3 points is Matthew. In second place with 4 points is Kirby, and in the lead with 7 points is Mary. Right, this question goes to Robert. Are you ready, Robert?
Pays off to pay attention.
I am ready as I can be.
What does the doctor ask for after he asks for celery?
Oh, a cup of tea?
Nope. Anybody else?
No.
No, I don't know what he asked for, but he does mention that they do excellent with the tomato business because they're underground.
That's a point. That's a point there. Well done.
Yes.
Reese.
Tomato?
It says tomato, yes.
Yeah, tomato.
Yeah. Tomato.
Yeah. Right, next question is for Reese. Reese?
Yep.
What is the name of the Silurian scientist?
Oh, the scientist? Malachi.
Is the correct answer.
Malachi.
However it's pronounced, yeah.
Yes.
Right. Restek says Malachi and the doctor says Malachi.
Yeah.
Matthew.
Yes.
How do the Silurians travel?
Oh, I know this one.
Something about gravity bubbles and something else.
No.
Those disc things.
I'm going to give you a point for gravity bubbles.
Geothermic, wasn't it?
That is worth another point. Yes, I'll give you another point. I'll give you a point for the other half of that thing. So that's fine.
Gravity.
That's geothermal. Geothermal gravity bubbles.
Oh.
The next question.
Oh, okay.
It goes to Kirby.
When I get those.
Kirby.
Yes.
John, can you just let Kirby speak? Just
to John.
Right. What is the name of the Silurian leader?
Eldane.
Is the correct answer.
Or Marvin. Marvin the paranoid android.
Eldane. Right, this
I
question.
Think you want to know I'm feeling very depressed.
This question's for Mary.
It wasn't that bad an episode, Beth. Mary. Don't worry.
Mary. Yes. Right. What type of controls are the Doctor's favourite?
Got me. I pass it on.
Okay, anybody else?
No. Oh, I know. Was go something on. To do with liquid, wasn't it? Liquid controls?
I'll give you a point for that. It's fluid controls. It's near enough.
Fluid.
Yeah, 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 that's mm-hmm. Well done.
Okay, right. We have three questions left, and these are free for all.
Is that when he says one of my favourite lines, squeaky bum time?
Yes.
And he goes, oh, super squeaky bum time.
Yes. Right.
So before these last three questions, we're going to do a recap on the scores. In last place, with 2 points, is Robert. In fourth place, with 4 points, is Matthew. In third place, with 5 points, is Reese. In second place, with 6 points, Kirby. And then the lead with 7 points, Mary. Right, this is a free-for-all, so shout your name out.
Yay.
If you want to answer the question.
Okay.
Are you ready? Right.
Okay.
Where in the TARDIS is sick bay?
Where the sick bay is.
you're frozen out of my ear. Carry on.
I knew you'd do that. It's typical TARDIS directions, you know, down the corridor and past the two doors on the left or something
so
like that.
So you're actually going to come up with the answer heart. Rather than doing a tour of the TARDIS?
Upstairs.
Is the correct answer. Was that John?
Oh, well,
yes. It's
upstairs and through corridor two, mister.
Right. Next question. Huh? Next question, Adam, remember.
What was that?
What did you say, Reese?
Never mind.
Right, next question. Remember, please try and call your name out so I know who you are. And John, you can say Kirby if you like, just to not confuse me.
Your name
right. Matt. Okay. Here we go. This is the penultimate question. What colour is the Doctor's hanky?
Snot green.
You're frozen out.
You're right, it's snot green.
Not green.
Has anybody come out with the right answer? That would be quite useful at this stage.
It's red, isn't it?
Who said that? Reese?
Reese.
Right.
Hey,
okay.
Whatever.
Yes, well, as you went, I'll give you a point as there were about 15 guesses. And the final question.
Wasn't great.
Final question this week's. You won't get this one. Are you ready? Hello?
No.
Right. Last question.
Hello?
Yes.
What were... do you mind? What were Rory's last words?
Ah. Oh, I know. Is it something like, you're beautiful, you're pretty, or something?
Beautiful.
You're beautiful. Was it?
You're beautiful.
There were some of his last words. I was looking for his actual last words.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry is the correct answer. I'll give you a point for that.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. He's doing his Ted impersonation.
Thus concludes this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. And the scores are, in last place, with 2 points, Robert.
Surprise,
in fourth place, with 4 points, Matthew. In joint second place, with 7 points, Reese and Mary. And this week's winner, with 8 points, was Kirby.
No.
Woohoo!
Oh, wow. Good job, Kirby. Job.
I said because I gave you my points, which isn't.
I was hoping that
when
Mary.
When are we going back to Classic Who?
When this series comes to an end.
That's where Robert is strong.
That's
and
where I
is
get
strong.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've only seen this story twice, so, and this was the first time I'd seen it since 2010. So.
Okay. Excuses. They're good on this show. They use quite a lot. Whowon.co.uk are illustrious sponsors.
Would that be whowon.co.uk?
Oh, for God.
Who, Mary?
Damn!
That was definitely be.
Cool1.co.uk.
Yes, I did rather give it away, didn't I?
It's not fun anymore. You know how to say it.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the final score of the England-Brazil game was 2-2. But never mind, we nearly won. Right, we've got some... Oh, my God! New item available at whowon.co.uk, which is really frustrating, considering I was in Ride the other day and I could have bought one.
Whowon.co.uk.
It's a little Clara Oswald. Oh, it's £3.99. 3.75 inches posable action figure. And she's got a red bag, and she's wearing a... Like, so it looks like a sort of polka dot dress. I want one. Is it me or you?
No, Adam, you're fine.
Yeah, I can hear everybody fine.
I can hear everyone fine.
I think it might be Matthew.
And that's really weird, because everybody...
Yeah, because everybody's...
Everybody's gone all strange and telephony.
Everybody's kind of cybered.
Yeah, gone all sort of
telephony. Yeah,
it's all gone.
Podcast
all...
is sinking.
Yeah, yeah, I reckon that's Alicia, you know. I reckon Alicia's Skyping people and using up my bandwidth. Yes, I was just in the middle of saying how wonderful the little... Clara figure is, but there's a new Cyberman figure out as well. Which is
excellent.
And the Dalek figure, and a Doctor with long coat. Doctor with long coat figure. Stop talking over my Doctor with long coat comment. I want one of them. So I'm going to have to go to whowon.co.uk and buy these new posable action figures.
Yeah, and all the 50th anniversary double reprints on here as well.
Yeah.
Not so much.
And I will let you off that sounding crap because it's coming to the end of the show, but it's pretty unacceptable.
You sound normal, Mary, and you sound normal, Adam.
You don't.
Adam. That's because we have Max.
Adam.
Okay, John sounds fine as well.
Who?
It's me, then.
No, John doesn't sound
good.
No,
Matthew
sounds
good. Matthew sounds fine as well to me.
No, John sounds like Kirby now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Kirby. Hey, Kirby's back. God, slightly late addition to the show, but never mind. Maurice is normally about this late when he comes on. Oh, right. Sorry, I thought Brazil had just gone into the lead, then I realised it was an action replay.
I thought you said it had finished.
Yeah, it has. That's what I've just said. Anyway. I'm just going to find out what Alicia's up to. I'm just going to nip upstairs, find out what Alicia's up to, and find out if she's using up the bandwidth. Because if it's not that, it's just you lot. Hang on.
I hear everybody normal.
Well, maybe that makes you abnormal.
Huh?
If you're the only one.
You're the only one.
For me.
Right. She's not using up the bandwidth, and I can tell you why. She's fast asleep. So, there's obviously something really weird going on here, which is obviously the internet saying it's about time we finish this podcast. It's a shame, really, because there was so much more to talk about, really, like the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, where there's always something interesting being talked about. Unfortunately, we can't talk about it at the moment for obvious reasons, but please join it, because Jeff Waddle is back. Well, I said that last week, but he is. And also, please send in some feedback to the show, because we need it, because without it, we haven't got the feedback article.
Jeff's posts seem to stir quite long comments.
She's coming back.
that makes sense.
Getting better.
You started coming back then, Mary. That was really weird.
Well, yeah, and you're better too.
Everybody's better.
The doctor says this is Mr. Clever.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it? Anyway, yes, there's also lots of chat and interesting news gets posted in our Facebook group.
And some threats sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's only when you see the name Robert Haynes and lots of likes appearing everywhere. have you got a problem with your mouse, Robert, that just like automatically clicks on likes?
Robert likes everything.
Hey, Reese, what did you say earlier on that was really funny that you said that Robert liked? It was really funny. It made me laugh. No, okay, fine. Oh, no, it was me, wasn't it? I was being really funny. I said we should set up a group called Like to see if Robert would like it.
He said something that he found funny. It wasn't funny at all, but you know
what it is. Robert likes it,
The Like group. Anyway, right.
Somewhere in the world there is a counter which has the most likes, and the award will go to me.
Yeah. Yes. No. No chance, Robert. My mother would win the most likes, and the most obscure likes as well. She
the like group will be for like-minded people.
Yeah,
it's like John Pertwee has just died.
Sounding normal again. That's weird. Yes, that's it. Yeah. Matt Smith leaves Doctor Who. Hang on, did you like the fact the news of Matt Smith had left Doctor Who? Hang on, I see it. Somebody posted it. Hang on. Don't know if what disappoints me more, the fact Matt Smith is leaving Doctor Who. Yes, Robert Haynes likes that one. There we go. Right then, talking about our group, and also we've got the 20 megabyte podcast YouTube channel where you can see 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast confidential, which is out there.
Which is very well made.
It's very well made. I made it. But the challenge is out there. The challenge is out there for all you lot to make a little video to put on YouTube. And if you have a problem putting it on YouTube, send it to me and I'll bung it on our YouTube channel. But that's probably where it needs to
be,
really.
I'll send it to you, Adam, because that's the only way I know how.
Yeah, it will be good. or send a link to it. Or, you know, you can put it in Dropbox, can't you? So if you could do that, everybody, that'd be great. We can. I'll put something together.
I don't want to reveal what my studio, how messy my studio is.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You can do what you like.
We don't care. We just want to peek into your life. That's all.
Yeah. So that's the challenge.
Does anybody want to see my colonoscopy video?
No.
Robert, we have long established that we do not want to see that. Okay.
God. Only if you're doing a podcast during it.
Nurse, pass in the microphone.
Will you stop making him laugh? Otherwise, he's going to need another blooming operation. Right then. Yeah, and if you want to send feedback into the show, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Please do so, whether you want to send it in or not. That would probably be the best way to say. It's compulsory. Just think, other podcasts ask you to pay them £1 each or $1 each to keep the stop them having to work full time. We don't ask for money, although you can donate money. Thank you to certain listeners.
Yeah.
You can do, but via the Podbean page, there is a donate button. It's most welcome donations because it does keep the podcast going. I'm not saying, but we don't ask for it very often. But what you do get, I've forgotten what I was going to say because I was rambling on about paying money to the show. Damn.
Do you still have, or I seem to remember that you were offering T-shirts a while back. Do you have any 20 megabyte T-shirts?
No. The trouble is the T-shirts came out of my own personal wardrobe and were ironed on personally by me. The first one didn't come up too bad, as you might notice, because I'm wearing it in the photographs of my visit to the Doctor Who Experience. But the second one, the thing peeled off. Very expensive to make. So no 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast T-shirts. But
Well, for those of us that are going to...
What?
When we're going to... Like, they're going to Con, because Sturberus, I go to Chicago TARDIS, and Matthew does too. Is there any way of us getting these iron-ons?
No. But basically because they're very difficult to print and they're very unreliable. They cost me a blooming fortune as well.
Oh, okay.
So, no. I wouldn't even... Yeah. You'd ruin something, whether it be the iron or the thing you're ironing it onto. So it's not worth it. But, yeah, you already...
You really don't have a lot of time left for Conquistorbus anyway.
Well, true. Yeah, but I wondered if that was a possibility.
No. Yeah. Well, not from my end, anyway. But, yeah, it would be nice, but unfortunately it's not possible. But it would be possible to send each of us send a postcard and sign it and make that a prize, but send it all around the world and get it all signed and, you know what I mean, that sort of thing. That would be a possibility. It could take a rather long time.
Yeah.
But,
well, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good idea, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. If somebody wants our signatures.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to talk to my agent about that.
Yes. Right, I've had enough of this. Right, when are we recording next week?
What am I supposed to do with this blooming thing?
Hello. When are we recording next week? Because the week after is the Isle of Wight Festival, and I can't record on Sunday when the Isle of Wight Festival is on, because I'll be stuck having to listen to 3 hours of Bon Jovi. Deb will be in heaven. I will be in a pair of wellies, very upset. But yeah, so next week I cannot record the show on the Sunday. Will you shut up?
What, this coming Sunday?
No, next Sunday's fine.
So next Sunday,
this coming Sunday, as in a week from today, I can record, and I can also record on the Monday. Okay. What I'm saying is the week after that, I cannot record. I definitely can't record on the Sunday. It would have to be the Monday.
Okay.
Matthew and I will be at a convention at this coming Sunday, so I can't record on Sunday in 7 days.
Okay.
Unless we wanted to put together something at the convention, which might be possible.
Yeah, we should do that because I've got my recorder thing, and I can edit it and send it off Saturday night or Sunday morning before they record the convent, before you guys record the episode. So.
Or the convention.
I can bring this my fancy microphone. It's not a big deal.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be good. Then you can send it to me or make it available on that pogo doodah.
Well,
thing.
You could record it at the standard time on Sunday, and we try and Skype in.
We could try that. That's a fun thought. So are we saying next Sunday, June the 9th?
Yeah. Okay, we'll try that.
We are recording.
We'll try that.
At 8 p.m.?
Yes.
At 8 p.m.?
Yes.
But it was 8 p.m.
Wait, what's going on at that time at the convention? Let me see.
I've got the schedule up now. There's the Creative Fandom with Lady Siliqui in one room, the family-friendly Torchwood panel that's over with. During the 2 hours it normally takes to record, you'll have the Creative Fandom with Lady Siliqui panel and Kelly Yates' panel.
Oh.
I can skip those.
You said that on a podcast that you listened to.
The only thing is
respectful man.
I will say this while we're on the topic. I am doing a panel about the Big Finish Audios from 3:30 to 4:30 on the Saturday. So if you skip that, Kirby, I will find you and I will find you.
Kirby, just remember when you're not on your old microphone, you sound like John Smith. So you just deny everything.
You can hide behind the new microphone.
Lady S is very interesting.
Pretty. I thought you were going to say, I was trying to end the sentence for you.
So, it's nothing against her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the only thing is that has to do. Yeah, I'd have to step away about 3:15 to turn on the Paul McGann TV movie for some people. But I'll
tell you what,
that.
To be fair, you wouldn't find me staying away from Lady S for the sake of doing a podcast. However,
I'll bet she's very interesting.
Absolutely.
I hope she comes to Chicago.
Well, I think she is very interesting.
That's
but anyway,
what she hopes as well.
Right, now, time to end the show. So until next week, thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I've got to go and settle down in the other room. I've got to have a quick scrap with Star, who's been very ignorant and just stayed in the other room while Magic has been pulling my coats and jumpers off the side of the back of the chair and trampling on them and then rolling on them. and then making strange
Adam?
I want to be sick noises around them as well, which is a bit worrying. Yes?
Did Amy fall down to the ground this way?
Apparently not. I think she got sucked into the ground.
So we're talking Vincent and the Doctor?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get your tissues ready.
Yeah, Vincent and the Doctor next week. Plus more chit-chat about the departure of Matt Smith. And perhaps some words that have been on the website.
Matthew, do you think we could find a table that I could set up on, maybe in the hallway?
I would think we'd be able to find somewhere we could be able to.
Is that to have your dinner?
And don't call me Shirley.
On the table.
And get a guest.
Is that to have dinner or display some artwork or. Strange. Anyway, that's it then. Thank you very much for listening to me. As I just said just a minute ago, goodbye.
This is too much fun.
My Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk, and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
So, if you want to do that, please do 20mb.feedback. I love the way you're talking over every tiny bit of my... Sorry, Mary, carry on. I'll do the feedback email address in a moment.
Sorry. I couldn't hear you.
No wonder I was talking, that's why. Carry on. Jeff's posts, yes.